Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topics surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we have a lot to thank God for. He is the one that gave us all of our food, all of our clothes, all of the water that we drink, which we take for granted. And he is the one that has helped us in so many ways at so many times. And so we can thank God for all of his goodness. But our program is for the purpose of upholding the Bible as the Word of God. And last week we read so many of the founders of modern science that believed that the creator of this universe has given us a book. And this book is called the Bible. Now, the Bible, we believe it's God's Word because of the evidence of it, that it was given to us by an eternal creator. And we talked about Pasteur it was another one of the famous scientists, and I'll think of it in a minute or so, I'm sure. But his name was Pascal. Our engineer just helped me out. And so Pascal was in a hotel, and he saw a Bible for the first time. He had a mathematical genius of a mind. And he immediately said this was something supernatural. It was something that man couldn't have done. And so he became a very strong Christian and spent his life, as well as discovering many mathematical formulas and also many scientific facts, because he was a scientist and one of the greatest. And so the Bible has proof and it has evidence. And our faith, according to the Bible, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so God has given us proof and evidence in the Bible. In fact, there's more proof and evidence of this from every way you look at it, if you want to look at it from history or archaeology or science. But we're talking about science today. Last week we read what many of the founders of modern science thought about the Bible. And so we're going to talk about some of the scientific facts that the Bible teaches today. Well, the Bible says that Earth's is free-floating in space. At a time when it was believed that the Earth sat on a large animal or a giant, the Bible spoke of the Earth's free-float in space. The Bible says, "He hangs the Earth upon nothing," Job 26:7. Science didn't discover that the Earth hangs upon nothing until 1650. Now, the Scriptures also speak of an invisible structure of matter. Only in recent years has science discovered that everything we see is composed of things that we cannot see, invisible atoms. But in Hebrews 11:3, it says, written 2,000 years ago, Scripture tells us that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I'm reading these things today out of a book, and if you would like to order this book, I am not selling the book. I'm not getting any money from it, but I'm just saying it was a wonderful book to get, and possibly you could order this through the internet or at a Christian bookstore. It's written by Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort, Scientific Facts in the Bible. And it's just a small book. It only has about 100 pages in the book. But it's an outstanding little book that defends the Word of God, and that's what our program is all about. Now, the Bible also reveals that the earth is round. The Scriptures tell us the earth is round. It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, Isaiah 40:22. And, of course, God knew this because he sees everything. Another scientific fact in the Word of God. Then the Bible, we see the Bible in the science of oceanography. And as we said last week, many of the founders of modern science believe that the creator of this universe gave us a book. Why wouldn't he? You mean he would create man in all the wonderful and amazing things on this earth with the high degree of complexity, and he would not speak to man in a very clear-cut way so that they could understand him? What's the main way that a man has transmitted his knowledge through the ages. Well, it's a book. And so God has given us a book. Men wrote it down, but he has given it to us. And there is much evidence that it comes from the Creator. And it gives the whole history of man right back to Adam and Eve. Now, Matthew Murray said this. He considered the father of oceanography. He noticed the expression paths of the sea, Psalm 8:8, written 2,800 years ago, and said, if God said there's paths in the sea, I'm going to find them. Maury then took God at his word and went looking for those paths. And we are indebted to his discovery of the warm and cold continual continental currents. His book on oceanography remains a basic text on the subject and is still used in universities today. But what about the Bible and radio waves? God asked Job a very strange question in 1500 BC. He asked, can you send lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? These appears to be a scientifically ludicrous statement that light can be sent and then manifest itself in speech. But did you know that all electromagnetic radiation from radio waves to X-rays travels at the speed of light? This is why you can have instantaneous wireless communication with someone on the other side of the earth. The fact that light can be sent and then manifest itself in speech wasn't discovered by science until 1864, 3,300 years later, when British scientist James Clerk Maxwell suggested electricity and light waves were two forms of the same thing. I'm going to read that passage again, and it states what we have just said again. I'm going to read it. He asked, can you send lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Well, of course, we can today. And it's referring to the electricity. And it's just amazing. God knows everything. He knows the future. And he knows what's going on. And it's all in the Word of God. And that's how we know the Bible is the Word of God. I remember some months ago, I was traveling on a train in the state of Virginia. We were way out in the country. And right next to me was a Palestinian. And every so often, with a little 2-inch piece of steel, he was talking to his wife near the city of Hebron in Palestine. And it just actually amazed me. And we know what this is today, and many people have these objects and so on, but it's still quite amazing. We're thousands of miles away with just a little piece of metal. He could talk to somebody, and she could talk to him. And yet the Bible has predicted it. The Bible and entropy. Three different places in the Bible, Isaiah 51:6 and Psalm 102, verse 25 and 26, Hebrews 1:11, indicate that the earth is wearing out. This is what the second law of thermodynamics, the law of increasing entropy. Well, we would say everything is getting rotten, you know, but they have fancier words for that in science called entropy. That in all physical processes, every ordered system over time tends to become more disordered. Everything is running down and wearing out as energy is becoming less and less available for use. That means the universe will eventually wear out to the extent that, theoretically speaking, there will be a heat dearth. Therefore, no more energy available for use. This wasn't discovered by science until recently, but the Bible states it in concise terms on those passages. And the Bible says that the universe will wax old as a garment and will be folded up, but Jesus Christ remains forever. And I'm glad that I have a God that he always was, he is today, and he will be. And he's there to help us today, and he controls the universe. You know, the Bible says all things are upheld by the word of his power. And the power of the Lord Jesus Christ holds the universe together by his words. Then we have the Bible in the water cycle. The scripture informs us all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, there they return again. Ecclesiastes 1:7. This statement alone may not seem profound, but when considered with other biblical passages, it becomes all the more remarkable. For example, the Mississippi River dumps approximately 518 billion gallons of water every 24 hours into the Gulf of Mexico. Where does all that water go? And that's just one of thousands of rivers. The answer lies in the hydrological cycles. so well brought out in the Bible. In Ecclesiastes 11:3 states that if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Look at the Bible's concise words in Amos 9:6. He calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The idea of a complete water cycle was not fully understood by science until the 17th century. However, more than 2,000 years prior to the discoveries of Pierre Perrault, Edmond Marriott, Edmund Halley, and others, the scriptures clearly spoke of a water cycle. Isn't that wonderful to have a book like that? And you can buy it, King James Bible, in the bookstore for about $10 and read all about it. The Bible in the first law of thermodynamics, the scripture says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. The original Hebrew uses the past definitive tense for the verb finished, indicating an action completed in the past, never again to occur. The creation was finished once and for all. That is exactly what the first law of thermodynamics says, the law often referred to as the law of the conservation of energy or mass. States that neither matter nor energy can either be created or destroyed. It was because of this law that Sir Fred Hoyle's steady state or continuous creation theory was discarded. Hoyle stated that at points in the universe called inertrons, matter or energy was constantly being created, but the first law states just the opposite. Indeed, there is no creation ongoing today. It is finished exactly as the Bible states. You know why they say that things are billions or millions of years old? Because one of the first laws of science is that you have to observe something. Science is based on the theory of observation, experimentation, repeatability. And since they have never observed evolution taking place, they claim that it took place so slowly that nobody could see it. Well, if you can't see it, it's not science. And evolution simply is the creation myth of atheism. And someone has said, based on emotional panic at the thought of God, it has nothing to do with modern science. That's why you never find evolutionists debating creationists, even if they were willing to pay them thousands of dollars to debate, because it is absolute incredible nonsense. The Bible and ship dimensions. We see in Genesis 6, God gave Noah the dimensions of the 1.5 million cubic foot ark he was to build. In 1609 at Horn in Holland, a ship was built after that same pattern, revolutionizing shipbuilding. By 1900, every large ship on the high sea was inclined toward the proportions of the ark and verified by Lloyd's Register of Shipping in the World Almanac. And so it goes on and on, the massive amount of incredible science that we have just been finding out today. The Bible and meteorological laws. The scripture describes the cycle of air currents 2,000 years before scientists discovered them. The wind goes toward the south, turns about unto the north, it whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits. Ecclesiastes 1:6. We now know that air around the earth turns in huge circles clockwise in one hemisphere and counterclockwise in the other. And then we see the Bible and science in antiquity and what is called the Dark Ages. Men did not know what they now know about humanity and the cosmos. They did not know the lock, but they possessed the key, which is God. Now many have excellent descriptions of the lock, but they have lost the key. The proper solution is union between religion and science. We should be owners of the lock and the key. The fact that is that as science advances, discovers what was said thousands of years ago in the Bible. And the Bible is a wonderful book. You know, in fact, the very basis of modern science is the idea that there are laws in the universe that God has put here and that we can discover. And when science was based on simply philosophical reasoning, it got nowhere until it began to read and study what God had put into the universe, studied the world around them, and read God's book in the creation. The same thing goes with religion. And today, people use philosophy and all kinds of religious theories that people invent. Seems like they invent a new one every day. But God has spoken to us. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews is the author of our faith. He is the author of our religion. And the Bible says that He is God Almighty. He is the creator of the universe. He made it up. It wasn't made up by man. And so that's why we should read the book. Now, we're talking about incredible things that the Bible teaches about science. So we're getting into the book of Job here. And the book of Job is probably the earliest book that was written, and Job was probably a descendant of Esau, lived shortly after Abraham. And in the book of Job, the scriptures tell us in Job 28:25 that there is a weight for the wind. Long before it was recognized that the air had weight, 16th century, the Bible said that it did. It also tells us that the water has weight. The fact that so much water covers the earth means that the effects of the sun and moon's gravity are balanced perfectly. The energy is dissipated in the water. The weight of the water is precisely measured. According to Richard Gunther, God measured the water and measured the weight of the air. Okay, so now we see the book of Job talks about springs in the sea. And modern deep-sea diving cameras have discovered amazing hot water vents on the floor of the oceans, the springs of the sea, which are mentioned in Job. Job 38:16. These thermal vents release huge amounts of mineral-rich, superheated water, springs in the darkness. And, of course, God knew about this. The book of Job in light, we see Sir Isaac Newton, who is a Christian and one of the greatest scientists ever lived who believed the Bible, studied light and discovered that white light is made up of seven colors, which can be parted from the white. Job 38:24, and then recombined to make white again. Science discovered this in 1650, but the Bible knew about it before that time. Now, the book of Job and the way of light. The book of Job, chapter 38, verse 19, asks, where is the way where light dwells? Modern man has only recently discovered that light, electromagnetic radiation, has a way in empty space. This speed is approximately 186,000 miles per second. So, once again, the Word of God knows these things, and they are put in incidentally, but God knows everything, and He puts it in where He wants it. The book of Job and dinosaurs. Why did dinosaurs disappear? Science can only speculate. However, the answer may be in Job 40, verse 15 through 24. In this passage, God Himself speaks of a great creature called Behemoth. Some Bible commentators think this is a reference to the hippopotamus. However, one of the characteristics of this massive animal is that it has a tail the size of a large tree. The hippo's tail isn't like a tree, it's more like a small twig. And so, once again, it gives a description, it looks like, of a dinosaur. Well, let's look at medical science in the Bible. And we have the laws of hygiene given in the Bible. And Encyclopedia Britannica documents that in 1845, a young doctor in Vienna named Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis was horrified at the terrible death rate of women who gave birth in hospitals. As many as 30% died after childbirth. Semmelweis noted that the doctors would examine the bodies of patients who died then without washing their hands, go straight to the next ward and examine expecting mothers. This was their normal practice because the presence of microscopic diseases was unknown. And I have also read that they actually used knives that were used on cadavers and then used these also in connection with the birth of babies. Semmelweis insisted the doctors wash their hands before each examination, and the death rate immediately dropped to 2%. Now look at the specific instructions God gave thousands of years ago to His people for when they encounter disease. And when he that has an issue is cleansed, and I'm reading from the Bible, of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing and wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in running water and shall be clean. Until recent years, doctors washed their hands in a bowl of water, leaving invisible germs in their hands. However, the Bible says specifically to wash under running water. Now, the Bible and correlation of mind and body. Medical science has come to understand that there is a strong relationship between a person's mental and physical health. The Bible revealed this to us with these statements and others written around 950 BC. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat, healthy. Pleasant words are in honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now here we have the Bible and bacteria. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn a beast in the field. You should cast it to the dogs. Thousands of years before modern science identified bacteria, God made provision for Israel by banning the eating of meat that they may be spoiled by bacteria. And so on. And, you know, the Bible says they're to wash in running water, but also use hyssop. And hyssop was a plant that killed bacteria. Isn't it wonderful? What a wonderful book that we have in the Bible. And mostly the Bible tells us how to have eternal life. You know, Moses, many years ago, he said, "Cursed is everyone that confirmeth not to do according to all that is written in the book of the law. If you do not do it all, you have the curse of God on you." But the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Moses says this, "And I have given it upon the altar as an atonement for sin." And so it is a covering for sin when the blood has been shed. And so the Jewish people had to go to Jerusalem once a year or three times a year. The men had to go and they had to kill a sacrifice. And when that sacrifice was killed, there was a covering for sin. But the final sacrifice was Jesus, who died and shed his blood for our sin, that we might be forgiven when we receive him. Well, God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.